This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Every day we are called upon to make decisions. They range from those that are mundane. What will I have for breakfast? Should I have coffee or tea? Then throughout the day, they become more serious. What business will I agree to? What contracts will I enter into? Throughout our lives, from childhood to adulthood, we are faced with making many decisions regarding our education, regarding our futures, our marriages. We speak to our wives and our husbands, we ask, how many children should we have? Where should we live? All of these decisions are made throughout our lives. I've been preparing for a course that I teach at Aris in Kota Damansara called The Foundations of Islamic Civilization. This morning we covered the Umayyad dynasty or caliphate. And one of these decisions that struck me as being one of the most disastrous decisions anyone has ever made was a decision by Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. His decision not to accept the terms and the conditions of Hussein radiallahu anhu that immediately led to the Battle of Karbala, or should I say, the massacre of Karbala. That day that has had profound effects on Muslim history from the time it happened in the year 61 to this very day. Every day we are reminded about this. When in the news we read about the Sunni-Shi'i split, we hear about what is happening to the Shia in Iraq and Iran, what is happening to the Sunnis, the fighting that's happening between them. This is not new. After the invasion of the Americans in the early 2000s, we thought that this is a new phenomenon, but it wasn't. So in that fateful period of our history, one man who was in his 20s, he decided that he was going to act on behalf of Yazid, the son of Muawiyah. He was going to insist that Hussein radiallahu anhu, that he take the bay'ah and that Ubaidullah would accept the bay'ah on behalf of Yazid. That he was going to pledge his obedience, loyalty and fealty to Yazid, bringing an end to a possible rebellion or possible opposition. And we all know how that ended. But I want to ask questions that are relevant to me and you, to us as an ummah. What decisions are we making that 10, 20, 30 years or more from now, we would also regret? And we would hope that we had made better decisions. So this is a reality that when one makes decisions completely divorced and separated from the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we make decisions based on our ego, on our whims and our fancies, we will be forced to live with the consequences of those decisions. Every day the muadhin says, Hayya ala salah. There is a decision right there. Will I get out of bed? Will I perform my wudu? Will I go to the masjid or pray at home? Decisions, decisions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by encouraging us, by exhorting us, by making sure that we understand the reward if we were to make the right decisions, but also understanding the consequences if we made the wrong decisions. So we as Muslims are required to look at our lives, not in the context of what is best for me, in my particular time and situation. What would my nafs, my ego, what would it truly enjoy at this particular moment? Because I am sure that if we were to reflect and think about all of the bad decisions that we made throughout our lives, regardless of our age, then we would stop and think and say, yes, that was a really bad decision. I wish that I could go back into time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the kuffar and the disbelievers, how they will wish that they had responded to the prophets and messengers. They would say that we heard that there was this message from Allah. These men came to our villages and towns and our communities. They called us to believe in Allah and to worship Him alone. They said they wanted us to obey them, but we refused. And now, after Allah has resurrected us, He has brought us before Him, the only desire that they will have on that day is they will say, oh Allah, oh our Lord, send us back. نَعْمَلْ غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. We wish to do that which we didn't do before. We want to say that yes, we responded. We want to make a decision different from the decision which we made on the dunya. Because now we see the reality. When I speak to students, teenagers and older, and they ask me to talk to them about education and its importance, I know that many adults in the room are thinking, if only I had worked harder in high school and at university, if only I had done better, if only I had not wasted all of that time. So the Muslim understands the reality of this dunya and the reality of the akhirah. And he or she is always asking this fundamental question. The decision that I'm about to make now, how will it benefit me in the akhirah? Because that is the true life, not this dunya. That person who made that decision in the year 61, that the army should confront Hussein, that they should insist that Hussein agrees to their conditions, did they think that people would be killing one another based on what happened on that day? That people would seek revenge? You'd have the movement of the Tawwabun, you'd had Al-Mukhtar, and he would use this event for his own desires and his own desire for power. None of these people thought about the consequences of their actions. But we have to. We have to learn from these historical events. And more importantly, and what is even more profound, is that Allah tells us what will happen in the year after. But we seem to be in a state of heedlessness, as if we read, but we do not understand. Do we want to be like those people that on the day of judgment, we say to Allah, send us back. We'll do good deeds. We won't live the way we used to live. Ya Allah, we will be obedient. We will be righteous. We will fear You in everything that we do. We need to learn not only from our history, but we need to learn from Allah who's telling us what the future holds. Isn't that what it means to have this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to believe in what he prophesied, is to know some part of the future. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked when the hour will be. Now that's a good question. Because if you knew it would be tomorrow or next week, you could definitely make the best preparations possible. You'd make sure that you were praying on time, that you were avoiding, you know, sinning and disobedience, and you try to be the best person. Well, there's only a week left for Qiyamah. Let me be the best that I could possibly be. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave that man an answer that each and every one of us needs to make part of who we are and the way we live our lives. Because the question is not when is it going to happen. You need to decide what you will do to prepare for it. You need to make a decision. I don't know when it's going to be. It could be tomorrow. It could be 10 years from now. And when we were studying this with our teacher, he told us that there were many groups and many individuals throughout Islamic history that have tried to predict exactly when the final hour would be. There were those who said it would be in the year 500 after Hijrah. Alhamdulillah, I think we can all agree that we have made it safely. There are those who said it would happen in the year 1000. And Alhamdulillah, I think we've made it safely. If there are others who say it will happen in the year 1500, Allah knows best. That is not something that we need to spend too much time or effort trying to ascertain. But rather the question is, what have I prepared for it? These questions about our decisions relate not only to what will happen in the future, but they affect us right now. If I decide to be a great father, to spend time with my children, to educate them, to teach them, to lead by example, I will see the fruits of those decisions now. I will see that my children are eager to pray. I will see that they are eager to learn about Allah and His Messenger. I will see that they are eager to live lives that not only would I be proud of them, but they would be proud of themselves. What then about the future? That when my sons, when I leave this dunya, they continue to live the life that I have led by example, that I've shown them, this is how you live. Those decisions are going to benefit me even after I die. I will leave this dunya, each and every one of us sitting here. We will die and we will no longer be able to do good deeds. But we made the decision to leave behind a legacy that others are following so that they may benefit from the knowledge that we've left behind, the sadaqatul jariyah that we've given, this continuous charity that we spend on the masajid and other, you know, things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Then another issue that requires our attention is to look at amazing examples of great decisions. If you look at some of the Sahaba, when they were toying and deciding whether or not they should join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether they should pledge allegiance to him, whether they should believe in his message, people like Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and Umar and Uthman and Ali and Khadija and Aisha, the list, wallahi, will go on for the entire day. But these people had that decision to make. But for almost all of them, it was so easy. And so we have to look at their example, that lack of hesitation, that lack of doubt that they had. When Abu Bakr radiallahu an was faced with that question, when they said to him that your prophet, your companion claims that he went to Jerusalem and returned in one night, what do you say about this? There was a decision. Do I believe that? Is that something possible? Is that something in the realm of, you know, the possible? And he didn't hesitate. He said, I would believe him even if he went further than that. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done triple the journey, I would believe in that. He made a decision, but that decision was based in his yaqeen and conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are living in a time of great confusion, and I want to connect the issue of Karbala to this particular time and place that we find ourselves in. We are constantly having to make decisions we believe to be in the best, in our best interest and the interests of our community, and only hindsight determines whether or not those were the correct decisions. But if we were to take the book of Allah and the sunnah as our guide, wallahi, we would always be making the correct decisions, and hindsight will always prove that we've made the correct ones, even if at the time we were doubtful or we had some hesitation. Abu Bakr radiallahu an, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, before he passed away, he was going to dispatch an army led by Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhuma. And when the news of the people's apostasy and their rejection and rebellion reached Abu Bakr, he still insisted on sending out that army to meet the vassals of the Byzantine army and the army of the Byzantine Empire itself. Even though the situation at the time required that the army remain in Medina to protect Medina and the Khalifa, to protect the Muslims, why would you send an army that is fully prepared, fully equipped, away from where it is needed? But he made a decision based on obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now, Hundreds of years later, we look at that decision and we say, that was the best decision possible. Imam Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, he was talking about divorce. He spoke about talaq and the sunnah and the guidance of the Prophet when it comes to divorce. And so he says that no one who divorces according to the sunnah will have any regrets. Divorce is a great decision. It is a serious matter. It is not to be taken lightly. But if you do it according to the sunnah, you will not be left with regret because of the decision that you've made. And so, I would like to take that statement and make it applicable to the issue of decision making. And that is to say, that any person who makes a decision according to the Book of Allah and the sunnah, following the sunnah, the Prophet's guidance in every matter, whether it be divorce or marriage, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if someone, it is reported, I must be honest by stating that this hadith's authenticity has been disputed by the scholars of hadith, but we are all familiar with it and its meaning is not problematic. If someone comes to you and says that I would like to marry your daughter, if you are pleased with this person's religion and character, then marry him to your daughter or the woman under your guardianship. Because if you don't do that, there will be corruption, fitna and fasad in the community. So if we were faced with that decision, I have two men, they've come to propose to my daughter. Alhamdulillah, one is a man of great status, a great reputation. He's well known, he's wealthy, but he has no deen. He's got despicable character. He's selfish. He's got a temper that he cannot control, etc., etc. And the second man comes, not only is he a person of ibadah, a person of wisdom and knowledge, but he's also a person with amazing character. A person who I, just by being in his company, feel that my daughter would be blessed to be in the company of such a person. Now I have a decision to make. Will I do what is right for the dunya? My daughter will have financial independence. She'll have all of the dunya that she could possibly want. But she will not have deen. My grandchildren will grow up without any deen. But this man here, he's poor. He doesn't have much. But he has so much more that will benefit her and my future descendants. So if I follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will be happy as an old man when I look at my family, my daughters and my sons, I look at my grandchildren and I say, Alhamdulillah, I sought to follow the Prophet's guidance when making my decision. I look at my family right now and I see many Muslims. I see good, strong Muslims. And I am now proud of the decision that I've made. So we see that by following the lifestyle, the sunnah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially when it comes to the decisions we make, we will, as Imam Az-Zuhri said, even though he was talking about divorce, we will never regret the decisions that we make. Because we were taught, we were guided, we were advised by the best of people. Sayyidu waladi Adam sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best, the leader of the children of Adam. What better advisor could you possibly seek? My dua for myself and for you is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to the sunnah in every facet of our lives. May the decisions that we make, big or small, be based on what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us and guided us towards. We are also living at a time where this issue of Karbala, we are almost in the month of Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there's no other time of the year in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than in these 10 days, meaning the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. We are upon those days. I want you to think about the ways in which you could worship Allah more in the coming days. I want you to think of ways in which you can increase your ibadah, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few weeks ago, months ago, Allah gave us a season of ibadah. It was Ramadan. And now another season of ibadah is upon us. Will we make the right decision? Or will we regret it when it's the 11th, the day after Eid? Oh, subhanallah. I wish that I had done X, Y, or Z. No. Start planning now. Making the right decision. Because Allah gives us these opportunities, these seasons, to increase our reward, to draw closer to Him. So let us grab those opportunities with both hands, with absolute enthusiasm, and let us be motivated. Let us motivate ourselves and those around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadah from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that can follow this sunnah and every other sunnah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisairil muslimina min kulli dhanbin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله حمدا لا ينفد أفضل ما ينبغي أن يحمد وصلى الله وسلم على أفضل المصطفين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تعبد. Regarding the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, people ask, what should we do? Well, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, العمل الصالح, anything which Allah loves and is pleased with. It includes salah, it includes giving charity, reciting the Quran, it includes any single ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. So do as many of them as you can. Let us focus on making sure that we take part or that we fulfill our wajibat, that which is compulsory. Let us go to the masajid. Let us pray in jama'ah. Let us give charity. Let us fast. All of these are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding the issue of Karbala and the 10th of Ashura, it is important that we understand that this is not why we fast on that day. This is not why the 10th of Ashura or the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, is important to us. Yes, what happened on that day is sad. The grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died. Not only did he die, but he was killed. He was massacred with the rest of his family. It was a very sad day. But we do not attach any theological or any acts of worship because of that day. We do not beat ourselves. We do not cut ourselves. We don't cut our children, as is the practice amongst many people around the world who profess to love Hussein. Hussein radiallahu an was a man who loved Allah and his messenger, who strove his entire life to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his grandfather taught him. And so we should follow in those footsteps. We should love Allah and his messenger like that. We should always strive to follow in the footsteps of those of the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt who made it their life's duty to be the best Muslims they could possibly be. But that does not give us the license or the permission to do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So we need to understand it in that context. And the last thing that I want to remind you of is that it is our duty to understand the history of this day, what came before it and what came after it, so that we are not confused, so that we are not left in a state of bewilderment when we go online or we listen to lectures or we meet people in the street and they tell us about what happened that day. We need to be aware, we need to read, we need to be educated. In a place like Malaysia, where you have universities like this dedicated to Islamic civilization, Islamic history, when you have professors from around the Muslim world, experts on the field, we have no excuse. We, living in this community, perhaps should be the most knowledgeable on Islamic history than people living in South Africa and other places in the world. So my dua is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that which is most beneficial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from that which has no benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from every fitna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to making the right decisions in everything that we do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to enter Jannah without any hisab. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم عز الإسلام وانصر المسلمين. اللهم عز الإسلام وانصر المسلمين. اللهم عز الإسلام وانصر المسلمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we always do, that He alleviates the suffering of our brothers and sisters around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them victory against their enemies and our enemies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them to enjoy what we enjoy here in Malaysia, which is safety, security and prosperity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to do more than make dua. so that we become ambassadors instead of only talking and only, you know, shouting out slogans. May Allah make us of those who can enable real change. Barakallahu feekum. أصلى الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يوفقكم لكل ما يحبه ويرضى وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.